You're listening to the Mahogany Says Show with your host, Mahogany Silverain, on Blog Talk Radio, MahoganySilverain.net. War is coming. Six kingdoms struggle for control of the world while wrestling with their demons within. Alliances are formed and lovers betrayed while leaders plot and scheme. It is a world in which fear germinates like a seed in the ground. But seeds bear fruit. And when the fruit of fear bursts from the ground, everything will change. Six kingdoms. When it's done, only one will survive to tell the tale. Fractured Glory. Part of the Rise of the Dread series on Amazon by Lauren Hart and Y.D. Lamar, the prequel to Rise of the Dread series. Get your copy on Amazon. Pre-orders are available today. I'm Dream Castle, brilliant and bad. I was my family's fixer. I was the queen of negotiating. I had never met a situation I couldn't talk us out of. Until my brother crossed the wrong family and they would accept only one payment for that debt, me. For 30 days, I was supposed to give myself to a man so brutal, they called him Demon. I had to follow his rules and demands and be available only to him. When I met him, he had nightmares in his cold green eyes. Except those eyes seemed to thaw a little each time he looked at me. There was so much more to the enigma called Demon. So many things that made him my Damien. Suddenly, the only thing I was worried about losing in 30 days was my heart. Demon's Dream, An Unexpected Love by L. Cason, now available on Amazon. Get your copy today. Good evening. Thank you for joining us on the Mahogany Says Show. I am your host, Mahogany Silverain, and boy, do we have an awesome show tonight. We are interviewing international best-selling author Y.D. Lamar, whose commercial I display for Fractured Glory. She's also one of the authors that I'm also a part of, the Rise of the Dread series. So I am happy to have her on my show, Y.D.
Hey, hey.
There she is. Hey, hey. And also joining us tonight, we have, for the first time, my future co-host. He's trying his little bit, you know, getting his feet wet today. So I would love to introduce to you USA Today best-selling author, Mikkel Wilson.
Hello, everyone.
Hey, I'm so glad to have you both with me. And YD, it is an honor because she does so much, you guys. She is amazing. And why don't you tell my listeners a little bit about yourself and what you do?
Oh, okay. A little bit about myself. I'm currently a stay-at-home mom to two children and a big old dog. I was a full-time occupational therapist, but I decided my children's time, they needed me more than the job did. So I had put in my 2 weeks for the job and became a stay-at-home mom. And then, you know, yeah, all that time, spent all day reading and doing things and writing reviews, and suddenly everyone who was following my reviews said, hey, maybe you should start writing books. And here I am today.
Wow. See, you beat me. That's going to be one of my questions. That's awesome. Mikkel, you're going to say something?
Yes.
Okay.
So, after you became a stay-at-home mom and then decided to pick up your pen, what was your first book?
Oh, my first book. It's almost like it chose me. I didn't choose it. They say write what you know. And so my first book became a trilogy, and it was actually in the street lit genre because I grew up in the hood, and that is what I know. And it seems I had to pen that and get that out of my system before my mind was able to open up to other worlds.
Wow.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's awesome. Excuse me. Pardon me there. So give me a little bit about Street Lit. I mean, I've interviewed different people, but this is a little bit of a genre I'm not too familiar with. Could you expand on that a little bit?
Let's see. For me and what I wrote, it was more based on the West Coast culture, because as you know, street life is different in every part of the nation, though there are a lot of similarities. Yeah, but I think West Coast has a certain flavor. One thing, it's very heavily a melting pot. And so when I wrote my trilogy, I planned it out as the first book was how a person was even introduced to gangs to begin with. It's because it was part of your surroundings. And so
wow,
I based that off of more Hispanic gangs. And my second book was I wanted to concentrate on what was it like to just be in the gang. Like, you've always just been in it. And that one I concentrated on Southeast Asians, because a lot on the West Coast, there's a lot of Southeast Asian gangs. And then my third one, I based it off the idea of what was it like to be now an OG and you want to leave the life. And so I based that off more on the Inland Empire and black gangs, about a guy who got thrown in the pen for 7 years. And once he came out of the pen, he's like, I'm done with this. I don't want to do it no more.
Oh, okay. That's awesome. So it's kind of maybe I'm sorry. Go ahead, Kat.
I'm sorry, but the trilogy went full circle. That's really cool.
Yes.
Yeah, I planned it that way. And funny enough, I don't know why, but I wrote all three at the exact same time, and I finished that trilogy in 2.5 days.
Now, that is really something. You wrote three books in 2.5 days.
Yeah, just say write what you know, and that's what I knew.
Wow, I don't think I've ever written a book in 2 days. It took me 4 days to write one. Mikhail, how about you? Well, never mind. I'm not even going to ask you.
About 2 days. You know, I wrote three books.
Yeah, I think she got you beat. That's three books in 2 days. At the same time. I mean, how do you put your brain like that? That's amazing.
It's because it's the same theme. And for me, because I had put a lot of myself in it, my own experiences here and there, that it just came so natural because the stuff that I've gone through.
That's true.
Wow.
Yeah. We do write a lot faster with those because we know just everything that's happening, we can make it into fiction. So that is awesome. So tell us, when did you first think, okay, I'm going to really do this after your trilogy, and this is what I want to concentrate on?
Oh, well, to be honest, my personality is once I get going, my momentum goes fast. So the moment the trilogy was done, I wrote another one. I wrote another one. That one's done. I wrote another one and another one. And I just kept writing.
Wow.
I mean, I've always loved monsters and darkness and things of that nature. So I believe after that, I started doing psychological thrillers and dark PNR, and it just naturally came out with monsters and such.
Oh, see, that I like that. You were my first person that I've ever come across that writes monsters. I've had a lot of different friends, but yeah, you were the first one. I'm just like, wow. I said, this is really interesting.
I will forewarn everyone, you know, the typical or more popular monster romances, the monsters are still very humanoid, so that it's easier for you to connect with them. I like them grotesque, and I like them very, very far from humanoid.
That
takes imagination. Oh, my goodness.
They say, you know, go big or go home.
Hey, go big or home. Exactly. So when you began to think about publishing, did you go through a ordinary publisher or did you self-publish?
All I knew was just everything that was around me. And at that time, it was in the authors. And the only thing I told myself was, if they can do it, so can I. So I did everything from the ground up. I didn't really have anybody to stand beside me to say, hey, this is exactly how you do it. It was a lot of stumbling and falling and getting back up and, you know, lick your bruises and keep on going and learn new things because, like I said,
exactly.
Once my train goes forward, yeah, I don't stop. I start rolling over everything until I get there.
Nice.
Yep.
Okay.
I feel that.
I know. She got the momentum rolling. So I could definitely see that. And what was the first year you began doing this?
I'm trying to remember. I think 2021.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I look
wow,
back.
You have really.
I'm baffled myself. I look back and I have like 50 books. Don't ask me how.
Wow. I've been doing this for a long time. Wow. That is impressive. I would definitely say if you just began in 2021, that's really impressive. 50 books.
Wow.
See, Michelle, I thought you were fast.
The momentum just goes forward, and I think what helps me at least, I don't look back. Like, okay, this book is done. What's next? Okay, this book is done. What's next?
Just like an assembly line just going.
You have to be.
For real.
Like, when did you have time to promote these books?
Oh, well, as Mikkel knows, I do have my schedule. The moment I open my eyes, I'm like, okay, I can't think about words yet, so let me promote. And then as I finally wake up, and then I start writing.
Okay.
Right there on the dot. Like, I mean, like, it's like right on the dot. 6 o'clock, you see promotions start coming up. I'm like, yep, she woke.
Yeah, it's best to try to get those done in the morning, and then you can kind of dedicate the rest of the day. Nice.
Exactly, yeah.
So how did you come up with the title?
The title for which book?
Any of them.
Oh, well, sometimes they come to me. And it just feels right. Sometimes they're influenced by songs or dreams I've had. They're really random. And I know for a fact that the titles that I enjoy and I'm proud of, it's always more mysterious to the reader, and they'll read the title and have no idea what the book is about. I don't know how to do those catchy titles. You know what I mean? The ones that you read the title and you know exactly what the book is about. I can't.
But that's a good thing because it throws people off to where they're like, oh, I'm going to read the back. That's not at all what I thought. I'm going to pick this one up.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's something that's shocking. So that gets, well, in a way, that gets readers' attention. So at least they wouldn't mind. How about you, Michelle?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
I said, how about you? What's your opinion?
About what what my opinion is on her? She's not human.
About the titles. You weren't even listening. Oh, she's supposed to be my co-host and have my back. And you're like, listening.
Listen, I am listening, but she's not human. You said my opinion on how she comes up with titles and everything that you just said. So, she has written 50 books. Which I am now able to talk about because you've been talking so 50 books in 2 years. Secondly, she has come up with all these titles based on songs and whatever she finds, and they're all like the first book I read of hers was Retrogrid, and I never read anything that messed my whole head up. Like I was sitting there, like I think I called, and I'm like, yo, what exactly is going on in this book?
It's craziness. It's utter craziness.
And she was like, read it to the end. And when I got to the end, I'm like, they should have just left that poor woman. But honestly, I've never met anyone like her in the author world or anywhere mm-hmm. else. So she's one of a kind.
Definitely.
Oh, thank you.
I would say that. I agree with that statement. Most definitely. Else we can ask. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, you say you roll through, so I doubt you ever have writer's block, right?
No, not too much, because I write across genres, which I'm trying mm-hmm. not to do too much. I'm trying to narrow it down to a niche, so I'm trying my best to concentrate more on just dark and monsters. But I do have the occasional, some contemporary works, and I think because I jump genres, it's mm-hmm. like feeling a fresh new world again, you know? So you don't get those writer blocks, like if you're writing the same thing again and again and again.
Oh, this seems like it would be easier to write the same thing again and again, but maybe that's just what my brain is. Like, at least I know where I'm going. See, you just... Okay, so you write across different genres. So what comes first for you, the plots or the characters?
Either or. I'm a pantser through and through. Literally, I will sit down, and sometimes I'll just be like, okay, this is his name. And then I just start writing. Or sometimes it just starts with a sentence that sticks in my head, and that's it. I just start writing from beginning to end. Or, this recent anthology piece that I just finished, I just told myself, I'm going to write the Bone Fairy. That was it. Whatever happens, happens.
So how many anthologies have you written?
Oh, let's see. Well, I've lost count for this year, but last year, at least 10 plus.
Oh, wow.
And so that's why I have so many books that I've gotten my rights back from these anthologies that I need to expand on. So that number on my Amazon list is probably should be more than 50. I just haven't expanded them just yet.
Pulls out calculator, just calculating one.
I know, right? Because this is like my second where I'm writing with other authors. My second is 3 years.
Oh, the moment someone introduced me, I jumped both, head first, both feet in, whatever, and never looked back. Because challenges make me try harder. And if it sounds hard, I force myself to do it so that it's like facing your fears, and once it's done, it's done.
Right.
And you feel a little more, accomplished.
And never, ever throw down a gun at her and say she can't do something. I have messed up on stage one.
She's like, I'll show you.
That is my personality. Yes. Do not tell me. You give me a challenge. Because I will take it and
you
rest.
You can't do that. That's awesome. Well, I mean, for most people, I guess they would like, crack under the pressure. But you seem to just go right on with it.
Sadly,
so,
I think I thrive under pressure.
Under pressure?
I think I thrive under it. Yeah.
So describe for us your writing space. I know you said you're a stay-at-home mom, so what's your writing space like?
Girl, my writing space, let's see, all of last year is a very small corner of my dining room table while I'm running around like a chicken with my head cut off, trying to feed the kids, take care of them, homeschool, all that. But yeah, just a small little corner of the dining room table. It's only this year I finally have. Yeah. Yes.
Oh, wow. Yeah. See, like you're my new hero now, because like I was trying to write when I was homeschooling, but 50 books. No. You homeschool. You stay at home. You write. You publish. What else do you do?
Oh, girl, I also, cook 3 meals a day and sometimes 4 or 5 different dinners because everybody wants different things to eat.
Oh, wow.
She's best friend to one of the best-looking guys I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, my goodness. We just can't even start with you.
She's tickled right now. See?
Right? You know, both left. We can't even ask questions. See? Okay, so did you ever think in your wildest dreams when you were growing up that you would be a writer?
This is a hard one to answer only because I didn't have the best life growing up, so my only escape from reality was to write. But it wasn't stories. I wrote poetry, just any sort of word vomit, just to get emotions out, because especially in my culture, you're not really taught to talk back and things like that. And when you hold so much in, it has to come out somewhere. And for me, it came out through the pencil and the pen.
That I can empathize with.
Yeah.
So what would you say is your most interesting writing quirk?
A writing quirk? I don't know.
I know.
I mean, you know.
I know what a writing quirk is. You know, being best friends with, you get a chance to know them. She gets more inspired by somebody saying she can't do something or this isn't good. If you say,
I don't think, but really?
She's like, I'm going to show them.
I don't know if that's a quirk, Mikhail.
Right. I was like, what?
That's not a quirk. That's just, you know, grace under pressure. That's not really a quirk.
You know what? I'm going to be quiet. Watch this.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's start the clock because I don't know how long that's going to last. I'm just teasing. Yeah, some people have quirks, but, you know, not everyone has one. You know, some people, the way they do things. Do you listen to music as you write?
Sometimes yes, sometimes no. It really just depends. I mean, if I'm really, really in the zone and the world that I'm building, I guess my example would be my Reaper series, because it was a trilogy, so I was continuously in that world. I think that one, I wrote it back to back to back again. I wrote the first one, then jumped right into the second, then jumped right into the third. So I did play music because I was in that world for so long. But the little anthology pieces, and standalones, no, I don't need the music. Though, you know, sometimes it plays in my mind, like, yeah, this would match this scene, but I don't need it.
Okay. So how much world building actually takes place?
Fractured Glory is one of the ones that is a massive world building, and I've actually had to really slow down writing itself because the prequel was supposed to be one giant story of a prequel, turned out to be six. So I really had to sit back and think, what would it be like in this nation? What would it be like in that nation, in this nation, that nation? And they can't all sound too similar.
True. That takes a lot of imagination.
Yeah.
That was a huge undertaking.
It was. It's become bigger and more massive than I ever realized.
But so far, I will tell you, because I'm part of the group, I have read the unedited version, and I can tell you, it is exciting, people. You will love it. This world is amazing. And I know Mikhail is also one of the authors as well, so even his take and his book, I mean, it's just, you've done an incredible job, Letty, with and I know Lauren Hart is not with us tonight, but you both have done an incredible job in setting things up for the rest of us.
Definitely.
From what I have read.
I'm glad, because I'm just lucky that Lauren Hart and I feel their weakness and they feel mine, so that the final product is just both of our strengths being lifted. And I think that's what makes the story so good.
Definitely. It really shows. And then Mikhail can kind of give more insight on that because he's actually finished it.
I did finish the book, and it is absolutely amazing. It's the perfect prequel. I didn't even think there was a such thing as a prequel that was perfect, but I had my favorite characters. I had my favorite scenes. There is some funny parts that make you mad. There's some people in there that you're angry with. There's some people in there that you love. It is a full ride. So you're going to cry. You're going to be happy. You're going to laugh. You're going to be sad. So it's the perfect book, honestly. Like, I found no flaws. If I could give it 10 stars, I would.
Yeah.
Oh,
I feel the same, and I haven't even finished it. Yes. I'm in awe. I mean, this series has really just taken off, and I enjoy being a part. It's like I'm honored to be with you guys. So
I am too.
You know, yeah, most definitely.
I'm excited, and that's why I had pushed my co-writer so hard because I didn't want to let anybody down.
Yeah,
you had to come out with a bang.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah,
I would say all of that task, man. She is cracking that whip, y'all. I'm telling you. Poor Lauren.
I am.
Lauren never stood a chance.
I put Lauren Hart on my schedule, and that's from the moment I open my eyes to the moment I close them.
She tries to close her eyes.
What time do you wake up? That's early.
What time? It's whatever time you start seeing promotions.
I'm going to tell you how bad her schedule is because I'm her best friend. If she's not up at 7 o'clock, I think something's wrong. I'm like, oh, I haven't seen her post it. She must be sick. She got to be sick. And she's like, no, I decided to sleep in late, which is 7 o'clock, which is not late. So that ought to tell you.
I mean, no. My alarm is supposed to go off at 8.
I often wonder to myself, am I doing enough?
I know. It's like, now I feel like, maybe I'm not doing enough.
I have to find the quiet of the morning because I have young children. And the moment they wake up, it's hard to stay on task. And that's why I choose the morning to try to get whatever important things I need done before they wake up.
Definitely impressed with her. And the job that you've done with Lauren is just amazing. Like, I there aren't words to express how impressed I am with this story.
I'm glad. I hope the readers are too. I'm really excited.
I think they definitely will be. I'm floored. I know how we were all writing our stories, but this, I mean, the way you guys set it up for us is just amazing. I mean, you filled in so many things. It's like, wow. this world is taking up, you know. This, I wish I kind of lived in this world. It's kind of, you know.
Right. It's fun.
Yes. And if, you know, well, you can tell us a little bit more about the world itself.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. What's the name of it?
Fractured Glory.
I meant the name of the world.
Oh, the name of the world? Oh, I don't know.
Yes.
Something with
the
name.
They're just different kingdoms. So.
Yeah, it's more about the kingdoms.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
But I saw that. I just wasn't sure how to pronounce it. I didn't want to mess it up. I don't know if it's... it starts with an A.
That's Lauren's. That's Lauren's doing. And Siri called Pizza Hut. I don't know what happened.
No. Okay, so can we talk about the kingdom? Is that allowed? I don't know.
Yeah, in general terms, yeah.
Yes. Okay, so are we naming the kingdoms or not yet?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So you tell us the six kingdoms.
Oh man, I didn't know it was going to be a quiz. Let's see. We have the Giant Empire to the north, Sipon Islands, Kingdom of Day.
Yes.
The Night Kingdom, the Intel Dynasty, and Keeper Nation.
Yeah.
Ooh. I felt a little shiver down my spine when you said Keeper Nation. Mm-hmm. Ooh.
Right, Keeper Nation. Mikhail and I are writing characters in the Keeper Nation. I probably made that obvious by now because you kept saying that. But I like the Night Kingdom and the Day Kingdom. And just finding out about the Giant Empire, they're a bit impressive. I like that.
Yeah.
they're a little kind of impressive there, too. And it looks like we have a caller who wants to ask a question. Do you guys mind?
Oh, okay. Definitely.
Okay. Hello, caller. You are on the line. You're on the air, actually. Do you have a question? Hello? You have an Alabama area code. Hello?
I don't know anybody in Alabama.
You sure?
No, okay. I don't, huh?
Well, they dropped, so...
Okay.
Tennessee. Yeah,
I mean, you scared them away. See, you talk about y'all, nobody in Alabama. You scared them away.
Mm-hmm.
That's all right. That's okay. There'll be more calls coming in, I suspect. So anyway, how about a little bit about each kingdom, if you can, just in general?
Well, that's hard to say. I mean, our prequel takes place 300 years before the first book. So the atmosphere and flavor of the kingdom might change. But for now, I feel that the Giant Empire, more akin to hints of Vikings.
Okay.
Kingdom of Day has a lot of sea merchants. The Night Kingdom, I think, to me, feels more heavily around the royalty and royal life, the royal family. Intel Dynasty, I feel, is wooded and has a lot more strange creatures in their nation that we have yet to meet. Keeper Nation, I think, is more progressive. It's going to be a little bit more progressive than everybody else at that time. More equality, right? More democracy, I guess you could say. Yeah.
It's
the equality of everyday living. It's a little more than the rest. Yeah. And Sipon Island is not yet existing at this point in time.
That's true. Yeah, because it's 300 years before.
I have a question. How many interviews have you done? This seems so natural for you. Is this like something you're doing on TV a lot? Like,
no, I am very introverted.
Are you sure? Because, I mean, I'm sure the audience agrees that you are an absolute natural. So
yeah, I would say.
That probably has to do with my healthcare background. I've always been thrown to the forefront as one of the leads, and so I do what I must.
Are you preparing for the Oscars next year and the Emmys, or for movies or TV shows coming out, or what exactly?
We should be preparing for that.
And to be honest, while writing this prequel, Lauren, we both spoke about it, and we felt deeply that if this was turned into a series, the cast would be amazing.
Amazing, yes.
Yes, because it's such a diverse cast. Like,
yes,
the opportunity for actors and actresses would be mind-blowing.
Exactly.
I completely agree.
Yeah, I would think definitely someone needs to come pick this up for TV. After everything is done, then we can find some screenwriters to disadapt.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody on Hulu, Netflix, CW, anybody out there,
mm-hmm.
Wynonna Lamarr is offering her services for a series right now.
Yes.
And I'm willing to help in any way, shape, or form.
Mm-hmm. It'll be right up there with Lord of the Rings. And I'm just saying, that's what I see. You know, ROTD is going to be right up there with Lord of the Rings. Okay, so I'm not biased in saying that. This is from what I'm not even looking at what I write. I'm looking at everything that I've seen so far and read. I see this. I really do. This is a great fantasy dark romance series that I definitely see it up there.
ROTD is going to be the next Game of Thrones watching series.
Oh, yeah. You got to get this on TV. I mean, even at the movies. I mean, it's just,
mm-hmm.
it's that.
Oh, movie?
Yeah. Well, you know, we can have subsequent movies. I mean, it's going to be long, so I think it should be adapted mm-hmm. for, like, TV, actually. Because it would, you know, you play out. Yeah. Because that can last for several seasons, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like
definitely.
Bridgerton. You know.
HBO. There, we're trying to talk to y'all. HBO.
Yes.
Hit us up.
If anybody's listening from HBO, Netflix, Hulu, we got a series for you.
Mm-hmm.
We got a series. Most definitely.
Yeah. A very multicultural cast.
Yes.
Yeah.
It is a very diverse world.
The people that created it are very beautiful. The two women are just stunning, A-list looking actresses, and then you have. I mean, it's a all the way around, like, you know.
What you try to say? You got Angela Bassett over here and Michelle Yeoh. That's what you're trying to say?
Angela Bassett.
Okay.
Yeah, that's my favorite
celebrity.
It's my spirit
celebrity.
I love her. I love
Angela Bassett
too, but
you're
prettier, so.
Oh, see. Oh, you're sweet. You're biased, though.
Butter around, man.
Right? You got some syrup in here. Don't slip on this syrup now.
Right?
And Wadi is definitely one of the most beautiful women I've seen. She has a heart of gold and a smile that just sparkles.
Yes,
so.
I would agree with that. She is really beautiful, you guys. Because I know most of you, we hide behind our logos, but yes. Wadi is, she is beautiful. Don't let the logo fool you.
Nobody's talking about.
She's like, I don't know. Would you?
I don't.
Who, me?
I only pretend to know. I don't.
Could somebody please cure up Young in case she didn't know? Because obviously she don't know, but she needs to know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just a nerd behind the screen, okay?
So she always says that. Actually, the three of us, all of us are nerds. I'm serious. I mean, we live in this, you know, we're writers, we're creators, and we have this, you know, world that's, you know, always in our head. So technically we are.
Yeah.
I mean, we're always in our head.
Yeah.
Just, you know, we don't have to live the best life. This is our best life. Writing a creating world, that is our best life.
Mm-hmm. First story, why would you say? Like, hello? We're creators. What we do.
Exactly. This is what we do.
And so we're going to be super rich.
I'm sorry. Say that again.
I said, and so we're going to be super rich from doing it. Yes.
Right. That's right. We speak that right here.
Mm-hmm.
Most definitely. So we already know you got 50 books. Now, I ask all of my guests this, but feel free to say, I don't have it. Which is your favorite?
I have different favorites for different reasons, I feel.
Okay.
When I wrote The Truth Enslaved, that was in my earlier, it was probably fourth book I wrote ever.
Mm-hmm.
That was when I fully opened my mind to just be like, let me write something that I want to read that encompasses the chaos of my own mind. And that was it. It came out perfectly the way I wanted it to come out.
Nice.
It's a psychological thriller. Some reviewers have said it reminded them of Silent Hill and Hellraiser and everything else. But it's the chaos of my mind in one form is The Truth Enslaved. I still favor my first book, The Scent of Jasmine, because it has so much of my own life in it that I can't help but to like it, even in all its flaws, because, again, it was my first book. I wasn't the greatest of writers, but that's the one that put me on the tracks.
I feel that.
Let's see. Yeah, and the
I'm
going
to have to read that
book,
one now.
The third book of my Reaper series was what I wanted a love story to be. All its messiness, its ugliness,
mm-hmm.
the forbidden love aspect of things that should have never been possible became possible because they loved each other so deeply. And that entire love story took place in a hellscape.
Oh, wow.
It was the Reaper's daughter who fell in love with the demon of lust and promiscuity. A demon that did not settle. But the moment she came into being, that was all he can go after. That's all he ever wanted ever again.
Wow.
Another book that is one of my favorites in regards to, I was tasked at the time for that anthology to write a spooky story. And
mm-hmm.
so, yes, I have dark stories, and, you know, dark is dark, but spooky is different. It's just something different about being spooky. So The Hunger of Thieves was one I was proud of the way it came out because, again, it was psychological. You didn't know by the end of it who was actually the dark one. First you thought it was this one, and then you think it's the other one, and he's haunting her. And next thing you know, he's trying to go into her mind, and she's haunting him. And it's a mind-blowing experience.
Definitely psychological. This one's looking really good.
Yes.
One.
Thank you so much.
Psychological.
PBR list. Thank you.
Yes. Yes. Added that right there. And I know it's not. It's hard. I mean, you have so many, and then you have several from just about that you prefer, that you really put your heart and soul into. Because there's always one or two. People think that, you know, a lot of guests think, no, I don't really have one. But you do. You have one that was really your baby.
And at the same time, even as a reader, most readers
mm-hmm.
will agree, you know, you're in the mood for certain things at certain times. And
yeah.
it's the same way with how I write. If I'm in the mood for it and that book took me through whatever I was going through,
mm-hmm.
it burns into my mind and I remember it for that. Not for the story itself, but for the moment.
Right.
Yeah. I will
that
tell you, she writes several books that pisses me off because of the ending. Just going to throw that out there. There is a book
wait
that
a minute.
Had me call her.
So
call her
not every not her. Everyone is happily ever after?
No,
she,
they're not.
I will call her in the middle of the night when I finish the book. Look, what is up with this, okay? Like, and she'll be like, you need to understand. She's so calm. You need to understand that life is not about this. It's about this. And I'm like, I'm hanging up. I'm hanging up.
Like, it's just not compute with me.
Yeah. He points out a very important thing. I don't see myself as a quote-unquote romance author. I'm just a writer. So there are some books that I have that, yeah, there are no happy endings.
And that's good, because I know with romance, most readers want a happily ever after book.
Happy ending.
Like you said,
yeah.
You write across genres, so that's not always necessarily happy ever after. So.
But I do have a Regency Monster book coming out, and that was pretty happy.
Oh, so tell us about that.
It was good. It was so good.
Wait, you read it already? I
probably.
Should have I should have known. Well, you just... Now, he's just showing off now. He's just showing off.
Yeah, it's because...
He threw down the
gauntlet on that book. So it's really his fault that the book came to be.
Oh.
It was an accident. I did not throw down a gauntlet.
Yeah, you did. Because I gave him my first two chapters, and he just said, I don't feel nothing. I said, what now? What did you say? Okay. And so I had poured, like with all of my books, I had poured my heart and soul into it, and this time I had poured a lot of my own experiences and relationships in it.
And it was beautiful. Absolutely beautiful.
So tell us a little bit about it without giving us spoilers.
Oh, well, that entire shared world is based off of, if anyone has seen it, the Bridgerton Netflix series, which is, you know, Regency period, and women are coming of age and looking for marriage prospects. So we did the same thing, but this time they're monsters. The women are human, but the men are monsters.
Oh, okay,
and
that's different.
Yeah. And so mine, according to the blurb, was a girl who spent most of her life living in Brazil. Her father was in London to do business and ended up gambling things away. And on his during his death, his will stated that he would give it off to her. But during the Regency times, as you know, women don't get the estate. They have to.
Right.
Get it through their husband. And
husband,
so she was invited.
Yes.
Yep. She was invited to the monster's ball by the queen in order to save her family estate she must marry. And little did she know that when she got there, she found out her father had already betrothed her to somebody. She just didn't realize it yet.
And he didn't tell. Wow.
Until
the monster came to claim her. The moment he found out she finally came to the ball, he came and made his claim so nobody can have her.
Oh.
It's a movie. It's a movie.
It sounds like it.
It's a movie now. Like, I'm telling you, it's a movie.
Kind of like Beauty and the Beast.
That's
the vibes I got off of it.
Listen, you know how Beauty and the Beast was? It's all, it's so beautiful. Look, this book is, like, really good. Like, it's more believable, and I loved it.
The first two books of The Shared World is out, so whoever's listening, go check it out to get a feel for it. Mine comes out this month, actually, at the end of this month.
Yes, it does.
So what's the name of this series?
The name of the series is Monster's Ball. My book is called Beguiled by the Beastly Baron.
Well, I say that sometimes fast.
Nothing now. And you'll easily recognize
it
by the covers.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That is awesome. Okay, what you mm-hmm about?
Because she know what happened in that story. I'm trying to get people to know. When you read one of YD's, just be prepared. That's all you need. If, look, if you want to know how to read her books, listen to Scar's version rendition of Be Prepared. That's what you need to be prepared for.
We should have played that song, right? Be prepared.
Like, I'm don't know what's going to happen in her books.
That's the best part. Exactly. I agree with it. See, that's the best part because you don't know what's going to happen. That's a plot twister for. Like, okay, you're thinking it's one way.
She has a talent of invoking every emotion that's humanly possible in every one of her books. And she makes you become a character. Like,
wow.
She really does. She makes you best in the character.
Hmm.
That's the first person perspective.
Yeah.
I'm done.
Oh my goodness. Okay, so before we run out of time, would you please tell us where my listeners can find your books, and do you have a website?
Yes, I do. And for everyone's convenience, it's very simple, www.ydlamar.com. I also offer a complimentary darkness scale, my own personal darkness scale, on my website so that you're not caught off guard when you enter one of my books thinking it's going to be light, but it was actually dark, or thinking it's going to be dark, but it was actually light.
Light.
So.
Nice. So we can find your books on Amazon or what else?
For a time I was wide, but I've recently put them only all on Amazon. Possibly in the future, I'm considering redistributing them back into other stores. We shall see.
Oh, okay. So you heard it here. Mahogany says, go out and buy her books or download them. She's an amazing writer. And Fractured Glory, go ahead and get your pre-orders in because the series is going to be lit. It's already. But I'm not biased. I'm not biased because I'm part of it. I'm just saying, from what I've read as a reader, this book and this series is awesome. And I have read one of Lydie's other books. And yes, so she is very talented. And I know this is one person who you should be up there, like the New York Times bestseller list, because your writing is incredible.
Definitely.
Thank you.
I agree completely.
Thank you.
Oh, by the way, you tell us you had a big dog, but what kind of dog is it?
Oh, it's a pit bull, you know. It's colored like cookies and cream. Yeah.
I know, I'm going to have
now.
Aw.
Yeah, I had him since he was 8 weeks.
Oh. So how big is he?
Most likely right now, possibly 110 pounds at least.
Wow,
a more
he's
than that.
Pretty big. That's a pretty
he
big
is,
dog.
He is, and yeah, and when I got him, I had, a 3-year-old, a 1-year-old, and then the puppy. So to me, it was like having 3 children.
Yeah.
Oh yes. Yeah, fur babies are definitely babies. So, Wendy, tell us, what do you think of Mikel Wilson as a co-host?
As a co-host, I think he's very engaging, you know, fills in the quiet times, keeps the conversation going. I think he will be a great co-host.
Awesome. Oh, my goodness. Are you getting all emotional? It's just so you all know, my listeners, this is my twin. I have had other people guest host with me over the past few years, but this is my twin, my buddy. We are so much alike, it's not even funny. And sometimes it really is funny. So.
I was going to say, you guys laughing so much, it is funny.
It is funny, right?
Really, it is. Oh, my God.
is calling me at 1 o'clock in the morning. You got to see this. You got to see this. This is video.
1 o'clock in the morning.
1 o'clock in the morning.
It was hilarious, though.
It was hilarious.
Like, it was so
it really
funny.
Was.
My question is, why are you up at 1 o'clock in the morning?
I couldn't sleep.
And he knew I would be because, you know, that's my peak writing time or my, you know, time to get quiet.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. So he knew I was going to be up. Like,
mm-hmm.
You got to see this video.
He's going to make sure you're going to be up. That's why he texted you, see?
I tried to get my wife to watch it, and she kept snoring. And I was like, look, wait, watch this. And I was like, you know what, Mahogany?
Yep. Mahogany is awake.
That was too much.
See, you all can write during the day. I'm a more of a, you know, a night owl that can write. It's just like, oh, okay, everybody's asleep. It's completely quiet. And that's when everything
yeah.
starts coming. As well as so, you know, that's why I sleep so late. But hey, you know, you get up at the crack of dawn, I get to bed at the crack of dawn. But
I do both.
Oh yeah, with him, you never know.
I get up early. Well, I don't know. It's weird.
Oh, I want to thank you guys for being on the show with me, and thank you for Mikkel's debut. And YD, thank you for coming on. You are welcome anytime, because I know you have more. If you've already
thank
got
you.
50 books, I know you're going to be doing more. So you've got to come back and give us more, especially when day breaks.
Definitely.
You see half of that in there? Yeah, that's one of her other books. But we'll have to,
mm-hmm.
have to come back and tell us about that one. So so thank you for being here, and thank you, Mikkel, for joining me for the show. And he's also going to be joining me for other shows. So this is amazing, amazing partnership, and I think he's going to be awesome. And so
thank you
very much for coming on, and I thank you, listeners, for listening. And this has been the Mahogany Says Show. And we will see you next week, or you will hear us next week for another wonderful show with another guest. I wish you all peace, blessings, and love.
Here she come now, say moaning, moaning. Shooting down, turn around, come on, moaning.
Have been listening to the Mahogany Says Show with your host Mahogany Silverain on Blog Talk Radio, mahoganysilverain.net. Thank you and good night.